Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. I am Pastor Paul Blair, and I'm sitting by the side of
Dan Fisher.
Pastor Dan Fisher, and this is this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out, and we are going to be discussing how many national anthems does the United States of America have?
So, Paul.
Yes, sir.
We have more than one?
Apparently we do. I did not realize this.
Really?
Watching the Super Bowl the other day, by the way, it was a great game.
It was a fantastic game.
And I love the fact that my former employer, the National Football League, has finally regained a certain amount of common sense.
Yeah, they have.
A certain pride of being an American.
Pride
of country. We are honoring the military once again, as we had always done up until a couple of years ago.
Sure.
But, you know, there was the opening of the Super Bowl, I thought, was fantastic, including all songs that were sung.
Yeah.
I thought was fantastic. I thought they were all reverent. I thought it was done very tastefully.
Yeah, and I do too. There was no American bashing going on. None of that.
Not at all. All of them were very honoring.
Yeah, the only people that I saw take a knee were guys like Mahomes and I think Hurts, and they were actually praying.
Right. No, and that's a good sign.
Well, that's a good thing.
But the thing that got me is came to discover that apparently we have more than one national anthem. Now, for those of you that don't know, we haven't always had the Star Spangled Banner.
I mean, right.
Of course, what was America the Beautiful, right?
America the Beautiful, I think was the first.
It was not official, but for about a century, that was what was considered the national anthem. And then, of course, Francis Scott Key wrote the Star Spangled Banner during the War of 1812 as Fort McHenry was being bombarded. Of course, very inspired. By the way, some people attack that as being a racist song, and it absolutely is not. That whole ode was dealing with the oppression of Great Britain over the Americans.
Yeah.
So when it referenced servitude or slavery, it was talking about the Americans being enslaved by the King of England and suppressed again. So,
could we touch on what this is not about? But the reason that we didn't outlaw slavery in the colonies is King George wouldn't allow it.
Several states tried to.
That's exactly right. And it was going to be the, I think, 28th grievance in the Declaration until Jefferson was convinced to take it out because they were going to complain that they couldn't outlaw slavery. So it was actually against the law to make slavery against the law.
Against the king's law. The king. Yeah,
right.
Exactly right.
Right.
So anyway, but during World War II, President Wilson signed an order making the national anthem
our favorite
the
president,
national anthem. By the world's worst.
Wow.
President.
Incredible.
And then a couple of decades later, I think it was the 1933, I think, I'm maybe off a year or two there, but Congress actually acted officially, which is what it took to actually have an official national anthem.
It was
an act of Congress, legislative body.
Yep.
And of course, since then, we have always known the national anthem as being the
Star-Spangled
anthem. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Then the other night, of course, we had some beautiful presentations, wonderful songs, but one of them was identified as the Black National Anthem. And actually, the name of the song is Lift Every Voice and Sing.
Lift Every Voice and Sing.
And it was a beautiful song.
She did a great job on it. And the backup singers were fantastic. I mean, it's great.
But the question is, how many national anthems do we have or do we need?
Well, I guess the question would be more easily answered if I knew how many nations we have.
I think we have one union is what we have.
We have a union
of 50 states.
So we're really not a nation.
We're not even a nation.
And you know, I think that's important, Paul. When you read the framers and they use the word nation, what they're talking about is kind of a national awareness, a people. The idea. In fact, we were talking just about
that's
that.
Right.
Yeah, something in common.
Yep.
Not one monolithic, because there were 13 colonies. Of course, they became states, and they were so different that. And we've talked about that in other programs. But if they thought that they were going to lose their sovereignty, most of them would have probably voted against the whole idea.
Exactly.
And the whole U.S. Constitution begins in order to form a more perfect union, not nation.
That's right.
So it's important that we mention that first of all.
We aren't supposed to be ruled by an imperial president.
No, it's exactly right. In fact, they, up until probably after the war between the states, when you said country, each person normally thought of their state.
State, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
But as you said, you know, you go to England and you find it full of Englishmen. You go to France and you find it full of French.
Right.
You go to Germany and it's full of Germans. But I, you know, I made this statement. In fact, it struck me a year ago watching the Ryder Cup. And I was looking at the list of players representing the United States of America.
Uh-huh.
And of course, as you said a moment ago, America is an idea. The idea that our rights aren't granted by the king, but our rights come from God.
Exactly.
And that the purpose of the government is to secure and defend and protect
our
unalienable God-given rights.
And then everything else flows from that.
We have the freedom to try. We have the freedom to fail. We have the freedom to become rich. You know, you go to most of these other countries, and if you're born in poverty, you stay in poverty.
You stay in poverty. You don't have a chance.
In America, you can be born in poverty and become rich.
Well, there are many stories that we all
absolutely
follow. Some of these football players.
Oh, my goodness.
Sunday night are examples of that.
There are guys, there are players now making $50 and $60 million a year. Now, when I was with the Chicago Bears, that was probably four times the entire payroll of 50 players.
Yeah, oh, I know.
And now that's what one player is making.
Sure.
But what got me as I was watching the Ryder Cup, listen to some of these names, and do they all sound like we're from the same ethnic background? We've got Berger, that's one director. We've got DeChambeau, okay? We've got Finau. We've got Kepka. We've got Morikawa. We've got Scheffler. I mean, what this demonstrates to me is that we don't all look alike. We aren't all the same height. We have people from South America, from South Africa, from Latin America, from Europe, from East Asia. All of them have come here for the opportunities that are guaranteed them in the United States of America. The principles of liberty, the idea of freedom.
Yeah.
So that's what holds us in common.
Well, and the old phrase that we've always used, it's on the $1 bill, mm-hmm. e pluribus unum, which you mentioned a while ago, out of many, one.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always, at least up until the last decade or so, believed in the melting pot concept.
That not a salad bowl. Or the
No, or a buffet line.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We take what we want. And you know, nobody is denying anyone their ethnicity in that. If they're Hispanic, there's a whole heritage that comes with that. Nobody's saying.
Should we have a Hispanic national anthem?
Well, I think you could argue yes, or maybe. How about the Native American tribes? What if we have a Sioux national anthem and an Apache? I mean, there's no end to it. What about the original Alaskans? We call them Eskimos, but I know that's probably not PC. Should they have an anthem?
And Irish, and look at the Irish migration.
Look at the Irish,
great
my
family.
God.
You have Irish national anthem.
Yeah, Scottish.
A German national anthem, Scottish national anthem.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously the point that you're making is this is ludicrous that you can have more than one national anthem.
That's
I guess we need to have more than one national capital. I mean, it's nuts. I mean, it's just crazy. Of course, we all know why this is going on. Mm-hmm. It's because of the PC, the whole nonsense of being woke.
And this thing, as we both noted, the football game, the Super Bowl this year was so much back to being what it's always been.
Yeah, a celebration of what America is.
In fact, a couple of years ago, I popped off. If somebody doesn't like playing football, if one of these players don't like playing in the United States of America,
go play somewhere else.
Well, they could, and they could go to Canada. And of course, you could play Canadian football, where you have the opportunity of making about $80,000 a year, or they could stay here in America, where they're making about $3 to $4 million a year on average.
But you mean that's all we have to do is just go play football and we make that money?
That's it. If you can get it, it's a good job if you can get one.
Oh, you're talking about qualifications. I thought everybody got a participation trophy.
That's another thing. You have to earn a job.
It's a meritocracy.
It's not done by quotas. You have to earn it. The best players get paid to play the game.
So it's a very unfair system, is what you're saying.
Well, it depends on how you look at it.
Well, I'm looking for equity.
In that case, yes. It is not equitable.
No,
of course
it's not.
The best players make the team. Generally, camp starts with about 80, 85 players.
Yep.
And they don't care whether you are black, white, Mexican, whatever. They don't care.
It doesn't matter.
If you're the
what
best
color
quarterback,
you've
got the job.
Yeah, you could be purple, and if you're better than everybody else, you're going to be the QB.
And along the same lines, when it comes to the United States of America and what we have here, I just had shoulder surgery 3 weeks ago. I'm sorry, 3 months ago. When I was trying to decide who was going to do this surgery, I wasn't looking for the best black doctor or the best white doctor or the best Hispanic doctor. I was looking for the best shoulder doctor.
Yeah.
I didn't care. In fact, I'd never met the guy until our first consult.
Didn't know
what he looked like. But I wanted qualifications. I wasn't looking for equity. I wasn't looking for the right ratio or the right box, especially when it's coming to your own health and well-being.
Of course.
You're concerned about having the best in charge rather than trying to please the politically correct crowd.
Yep.
So what should we do? Okay. Should we just, now let me ask you this. If we're going to change the national anthem, is there a way to go about doing it?
Well, of course there is. Just like there's a proper way to have immigrants and they become legal.
Right.
And then people who are criminals and they're illegal and they're not even immigrants. They're just outlaws.
Invaders.
No, exactly. So, of course, if the American people decided, hey, we don't like the Star Spangled Banner, maybe they don't. Okay, good enough. Then they begin to petition probably at their state level.
That's right, yeah.
And then the state says petition to Congress, hey, we think there's a better song. Maybe God Bless America. I mean, they sang that one the other night. Great song. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, there's a way to do it.
It would be, and literally, you know, the old term, act of Congress. It would take an act of Congress.
So if we
wanted to change the national anthem, we could do that.
Yeah, of course.
But we can't just decide tomorrow, hey, you know what, why don't we have a Baptist preacher national anthem?
And, well, it'd be singing the blues, I can tell you that.
But, you know, there are certain definitions of a nation. Again, you made the point a while ago that we aren't a nation. Technically, we are a union of free
states. But we're still a union.
Yeah, right.
And we have to work together at some level.
We have territorial limits, though. We have borders.
Right, exactly.
And so, generally, that's kind of a requirement of being part of a country or a nation, having a national anthem.
Yeah.
You know, people, again, they move to America because the ideas of liberty, the ideas of America, American exceptionalism, for some reason, chose to have a song a couple of centuries ago, and we used one for a century. Then we had an act of Congress to select the Star Spangled Banners.
National anthem.
So if we want to change the national anthem, there's a way to go about doing it.
Yeah.
And maybe this other song is, maybe that's a choice. However, we can't.
I guess that one, but.
We can't just decide to arbitrarily come up with as many national anthems as we want.
No, but Paul, you know that what this is caving to the whole wokeism, which of course morphed out of PC, politically correct. Now it's called woke. And corporations are making very, very bad decisions for their stockholders. Now they're calling them, what is it?
Stakeholders.
Yeah, stakeholders. But they're stockholders because they buy stocks. Mm-hmm. But corporations are beginning to make corporate decisions based upon this equity idea. In fact, there is a real debate going on right now about the NFL in that they've started making these decisions about referees. And the argument is the reffing this year was worse than any year that anybody can remember. And the reason being is because they're trying to fill quotas. Mm-hmm. And when you start doing that, you probably pick some of the less qualified people because you need so many females and you need so many of this ethnicity and you need... And you're not looking at qualification, you're looking at whether it's the color or the gender or whatever it is.
And what we want is we want everybody to have a level playing field. Now, by the way, we all have, I think this is important to talk about. We are all equal in the eyes of the law.
Right.
And in the eyes of God.
And we should be.
Exactly. And that's where we start from. And with hard work, and quite frankly, sometimes it's just being in the right place at the right time, being lucky sometimes, and you just happen to strike it rich. But that's the criteria. The whole idea of us all being absolutely equal is never going to happen because, you know, some of us are taller than others. Some have better hair than others. Some are better looking than others. Some are more intelligent than others.
Right.
And some come from families that are more affluent than others.
By the way, we're out on all of those. I just want you to know we're kind of bombing out. Is there any other category that you could name?
There are some.
I might have a chance.
There is an economic system where everybody is completely equal.
Yeah.
And that's communism. And look at anybody that has come out
they're
of
equally
communism.
Poor.
That's exactly right. The only equity they can do in that, when you aren't rewarded for hard work and sacrifice,
then you're not going to work hard.
That takes away the incentive to work hard and to sacrifice.
Course. And we've talked about that there have been experiments with this, experiments at Plymouth Plantation, you remember?
Yeah.
And Bradford said, I decided to cut the knot I couldn't untie because they had people who wouldn't work because they were doing everything in common. So he said, no, this isn't going to work. So everybody gets a plot of land. You don't farm it, you don't eat. I mean, that's just the way it is. And then if you go back in the book of Acts, now it wasn't communism, but they were trying to have everything in common. It wasn't forced on them. But look how how that started to backfire. Mm-hmm. And so God steps in because of selfishness and greed and actually executes a couple of the members to wake everybody up. You don't believe in capital punishment. God does. And he practiced it with Ananias and Sapphira.
You know, I was about to say, you know what? You know, any good Bible names that are out there for naming. I don't know if I've ever met anybody named Sapphira.
No, or Ananias. I'm not going to lobby for that. Although I think it'd fit you. But anyhow, the whole idea that everybody has equal outcome, that's impossible. Mm-hmm. I think if you took all of the accumulated wealth of all 50 states and you figured out a way to give everybody the same amount in 10 to 20 years, probably the same people who are wealthy now would be wealthy again. Yep. And the same people who are poor who'd be poor again.
Probably less time than that. It would take
probably so.
To waste their money and other people to save their
money. Well, look at the track record of lottery winners.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's notorious. You would think you win the lottery, even if it's a small lottery of just a few million, you're set up for life. But actually, the story of lottery winners is pretty dismal. It's awful.
It's not just that. It's former NFL players.
No, they blow it.
It's amazing how many high draft picks, guys that make ridiculous amounts of money, that a year or two after their football careers are over, they're literally broke. Yeah, so you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. Based upon whatever your background, your ability to handle money, you'll probably wind up there again if we did start over.
But no, yeah, but I think so.
I think the point we want to rest on is here. The idea of having multiple national anthems doesn't unite us, doesn't...
No, it pulls us apart.
We want to come together. We are one country. We are a union of free states. We have more blessings in America than any other people that have ever lived anywhere. In fact, the poorest in America are better off than some of the richest in other European
countries. That's why they're coming here in any way they can get here. You know, I preached a sermon a number of years ago entitled Division is Multiplication in Reverse.
Yep.
And, you know, the Bible talks about what a sin division is.
Right.
God wants us to be in unity. Now, we're talking here about Christians in the church. But the whole idea is that a group that's unified is pretty much unstoppable.
Right.
And so the enemy, i.e. communists, whatever level you want to place them, whether it's, you know, the Chi-Coms or whoever it is, the last thing in the world they want America is united.
Right.
So wouldn't you try to divide us with, you know, with ethnicity or gender or socioeconomic or whatever? I mean, that's what this is.
Haven't they done a good job of it?
They've done a wonderful job. And I think a part of it is because preachers don't ever address stuff like this, Paul.
That's right. And that's one of the reasons why we're trying to touch on it.
Yeah, because you don't hear this kind of stuff from the pulpit because somehow it's unspiritual. Well, you obviously need to have a biblical view on this, and I think it's possible to do so. But people need to hear how to process stuff like this from a scriptural perspective, I believe.
So in summary, there's no such thing as equal outcomes, but in America—
no. Equal opportunity.
Equal in the eyes of God, and we're equal in the eyes of the law.
Yeah.
America is not an ethnic group and never has been. America is an idea and an ideal.
Yeah.
And we have been the most prosperous, most powerful, most generous, charitable country in world
history, I would think.
And if there was a process, there's a legal process that we went through, literally an act of Congress to decide what our national anthem is. And if we decide we need to change it, then there's a process to go through, and it would take an act of Congress to change it.
Yeah.
Let's have as many beautiful, God-honoring, America-honoring hymns, songs, whatever you want to, at the Super Bowl and every other athletic event. I'm fine with that. Love it. I thought it was a beautiful opening.
Yeah.
The only thing that got me was we only have one nation. We're the union of states called the United States of America.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if we aren't, then it's going to break apart.
Starting to unravel.
That's exactly right.
Well, buddy, it's good to be back.
That's good to see you. Glad you're back from Florida in one piece.
Glad we made a 19-hour drive. We got up early.
Had a blast, didn't you?
And we were ready to get home. Kind of like, what kind of those old horses that you can rent and go for a ride in the mountains, and when you turn around.
Yeah, they're barn spoiled, buddy. They will go back to the barn.
We were ready to get back, and it's good to be home. Well, thank you all for joining us for this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out, and we look forward to being with you next time. And until then.
Yeah, God bless you and God prosper the cause.